Welcome back to the Bitcoin Nova. I'm your host, Stacy. My guest today is Pamela Posada, a Salvadorian Bitcoiner. We get into why she quit her fashion design job and started over. She was willing to question everything, walk away from comfort, and build something better. Today, she lives on a Bitcoin standard, travels the world, and empowers others to do the same. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Bitcoin Nova. And also, check out Satoshis. Use my referral link for 10% off your next pair. Let's get into it. Thank you for joining me. I'm so excited to have you here. I know that you live in El Salvador, so I can't wait to hear about what life is like out there. And when you moved there, I think you moved there recently, right?
No, I'm Salvadorian.
You are?
Yeah, I'm Salvadorian. I lived there my whole life. Right now I'm nomad, so I'm not living anymore there.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm visited, but it's not like I have a base. I just go to Bitcoin conference part of my time is spent in El Salvador. Right now, for example, I'm in Colombia.
Okay.
I'm going to go just in a few weeks again to El Salvador for 2 months.
I remember you posting a while back about moving. That's why I thought you were moving to El Salvador. So that's why I was confused.
No, I just posted. Well, it's because many people I was posting about El Salvador, and that was, I was trying to also give my opinion like on Salvadorian. Because, for example, so that's why I post about people moving to El Salvador.
Yeah, but also I think that's what the post was really about you becoming a digital nomad, like actually just like moving around. And so is this just currently where you're staying in Colombia and then you're just planning to move at some point? So you're just going to travel around the world?
Yeah, I'm traveling. For example, right now in Colombia for a month. Go back to El Salvador, but before Colombia, I was in Europe. In the beginning of January. So yeah, I will just try to be like a digital nomad, but it's more like I have a base for at least a month because I don't like to be moving around so frequent.
Are you traveling alone or do you have other people you're traveling with?
Sometimes I travel alone and others I'm traveling with somebody else. So right now I'm traveling with my boyfriend.
How many countries have you visited so far since you started your...
I just recently started to travel. I have just like 2 years. Traveling and I visited around 17 countries.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot. I mean, to be a Salvadoran, that's a lot too.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, I know people that do backpacking and travel around the world. And I always find that so fascinating just to see how you can live such a simple life, you know, and just have your backpack with you and not have to have, you know, all of your comforts, you know. So, but yeah, getting to travel the world and see how other people live is incredible. So, do you have a big family in El Salvador?
Yes. Well, I have two brothers. Well, I'm a twin. So I have a old brother and a younger one in my family, my mom and my dad. So we are family of five. So every time I am in El Salvador, I want to spend most of my time with my family because we always been very close together. And now that I'm the only one that I'm not in El Salvador. So I always enjoy time with my family. And I think family is really important in this kind of society right now when everything is collapsing. So I would prefer to spend most of my time with my family when I can.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's the most important thing. So do you feel like, I don't know how long ago you got into Bitcoin, but did Bitcoin allow you to live this type of, or to explore the world and live this type of lifestyle right now?
Yes, for sure. My first take about Bitcoin, it was when Nayib Bukele made it legal tender. And that was around 2021. Well, I just hear about the legal tender and I say, okay, I mean, doesn't affect to me. Because I really didn't care much about it. And then a year after, in September 2022, I met a Bitcoiner and that's how I get involved. Like he gave me the orange pill. And after that, I was like, Bitcoin was not like a cryptocurrency because he tried to explain me very well. Like for the same reason, he tried to educate me. And every time that he tried to give me a little more about Bitcoin, it was like, I really want to be part of this. I graduated like a fashion designer in El Salvador. I was working for an American kids clothing brand in El Salvador. One of the reasons I quit my job, it was first because I didn't have the freedom that I want to travel. Even if, for example, for a holidays, it was so difficult to ask for permission to take my time in my vacations and do whatever I want, because sometimes it was like, oh yeah, but we need you a little more, or maybe less days that you want, you can work for a little bit more longer. So I was always complaining about that situation because I don't even feel that I have control of my life. And also I didn't have control of my finance, because I was living in a fiat world, in a fiat system. And when I started to get involved about Bitcoin, I just decided to drop everything that I knew. For example, I quit my job and I started to work like a video editor. I never edited a video before, but I was just trying to be more involved in a world that I can live remotely, care about office anymore or 9-to-5 jobs. So I just tried to be involved in Bitcoin. So one of the reasons I decided to do video editing was to first get more involved about Bitcoin, because I was like a newbie in the beginning. So one thing that I tried to do when I started, it was to make people like me understand more about Bitcoin. So because I was trying to learn more concepts in that moment, for example, about what is inflation, what is 21 million coins. So I just tried to make the content so digestible for people like me to want to understand and learn about it. So that was my first take. And then after that, right now I have 2 years living like a nomad, working in the Bitcoin space for different YouTube, Bitcoin only YouTube channels. So I really feel so grateful for the life that I have, because yes, I think that Bitcoin helped me to change not only my life, because he also gave me the opportunity to learn a lot of different perspectives that maybe I didn't consider before. Because one thing that people don't understand of this society is that make you feel depressed. You have many questions around what you're doing with your life, but you really don't know how can you fix it. Because just you are, if you ask, for example, a friend in a party, or if you're hanging out with somebody and you say, yeah, things are getting expensive. And people say, oh yeah, but you know, we should care about it. It's like, I mean, it's your money, it's your time, it's everything about your life. And you really don't feel that people really try to make the point, make it the full question, what is happening, looking for the answer. So yeah, right. That's one of the things when I start to get in Bitcoin, it was like, I really changed not only about my perspective about money, changed my perspective about my life.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's frustrating because you see that people feel it, you know, different types of people are feeling it. They talk about it all the time, but they're not digging deeper to find out why there's this problem and that there is a solution. You know, people just think that this is the way the world works and you just have to live in it, you know, but we don't have to live in that world. And it's nice to be able to actually create content and do something with your time that frees you and doesn't make you feel like you're trapped, you know, in this job that they tell you when, you know, when you're allowed to take a vacation, how long you can go for. So to be able to go from no editing skills and just learn it, you know, you can learn so much now just, you know, by trying, you know, just looking up the information and figuring out how to do it and just getting yourself out there. Look, you're editing for YouTube channels and you're able to live a free life and you can create content that could teach people that there is a solution, you know, for this problem that everybody is talking about. So that's really admirable. And it's amazing that you can show people that there's so much you can do in this space. There's so much you can learn and just, you know, find something that you're passionate about, which if it's educating people, you can find a way to do that with your skills, you know, or what skills you could learn.
Yeah. I mean, many people say, I didn't have the opportunities, because you have to make the opportunities. I mean, if somebody asks me right now, I'm from El Salvador, one of the tiniest countries in the whole world. If you're talking about opportunities, of course there are small opportunities for Salvadorians. And then of course you have the language barrier. Well, I mean, opportunities are just, if you create your opportunities, I mean, that's what the reason I love fashion. That's why I graduated about fashion design. But if the world doesn't make me feel like what I'm doing is for a better reason, because I didn't feel like fully in love about that. And then when I discovered Bitcoin, it was like, I really want to get in this because I really love. And every time that you learn about it, you study more about Bitcoin, you only get more excited about it. And that, yeah. I think that's the hope that make me feel better in this world when with so many things that are collapsing right now. And I think that Bitcoin is the only opportunity and the only escape that we really have of this system.
Yeah. It is really, it is an escape and it does give you hope and you feel so free and you feel just such a weight lifted off your shoulders when you find out about it. And to know that even though you thought fashion was your passion, you realize that even though it was something you were passionate about, it's not something you enjoy doing because you're living in that fiat world that's controlling you and you feel like you're working harder, more hours for a salary that doesn't meet inflation demands. You're like treading water, you're not getting ahead. And then when you find out that there is this answer, you want to spend your time doing something you love. And that's what they always say about your career or your job. You should find something that you are passionate about. Does your family support this whole decision that you made?
They understand what I'm doing because, well, in the beginning, we have something that is very culture. My family is very traditional. So when I decided to move first, I was like, I'm the only one, the only girl in the family. So it's like the little lady is leaving. So it's like, of course, they didn't understand the process in the same way, like, because we're really traditional people. But right now, my family is full Orangeville. I mean, my mom, my dad, my brothers, even my little brother, he also work in the Bitcoin space. So it's like now they understand what I'm doing and they support me. Even if we are in different countries right now, they always try to be in contact with me. I try to be in contact and keep contact with them in the way that we can. But yeah, I mean, the best thing that I'm really grateful with the family that I have because they're always trying to understand me. That's why when we start to learn about Bitcoin together, it was like, they were very open to learn. And we are talking about my mom is around 62 years old. My dad is the same. My dad is 60 years old and he using more Bitcoin than I do because in El Salvador it was legal tender.
That's amazing. And it's nice to see that you're, you know, they're all about it. They're learning about it and you don't have to be young to learn about Bitcoin. You could be any age and it's not hard to understand, especially after you do it a few times, you know, and if you have any questions, you have your family or people that taught you about it to learn from. But just the fact that El Salvador is embracing it as legal tender and, you know, knowing that Bukele is doing this for this country to empower the country and to grow, you know, the economy. It's something that makes people feel more confident about it, knowing how things have changed over the years over there since this has been happening. So it makes people feel so comfortable because they're like, yeah, this is a movement. We are a movement. This whole country is doing something together that we see change and we see better, you know, a better world around us. So I'm really fired up whenever I hear Bukele talk about Bitcoin. And I don't know if you remember hearing him say this, but one of my favorite things that he said about America, how we're living in a country where we could print our own money. And he's mentioned, why do you pay taxes if your government can print their own money? And I'm like, boom, you know, that was so important. And I'm so glad he said it. It was like saying the quiet part out loud, but he actually just said it. And it was something that I wish more people would hear and it would just spread because, you know, it makes so much sense. And when you hear it just said like that, you're like, yeah, why would we pay taxes when they could just print an astronomical amount more than they collect from the citizens? So he's incredible. He's a visionary too. And it's just great that he's such a good leader for all the people in El Salvador. Have you noticed a lot of changes since you've lived there, since he started all of this?
There have been change in a short term. And that's one of the things that make me feel like this is crazy because I'm not living anymore in El Salvador, like my base, but every time that I go back to El Salvador, it's like, oh, they're building something new. This is new. What is happening? We have a new road right now. It's like there are many things that are under construction and they're constructed so quickly because right now it's Nayib Bukele give an opportunity to people look to El Salvador. Something that maybe 5 years ago, nobody can point El Salvador in a map. Or yeah. If they know about El Salvador, they're going to say something like, oh, this is not so dangerous there. How people live there. So yeah, people, for example, when I'm around Latin America, people from Colombia know where it's about Bukele. And they're really asking me questions like, oh, how is look? What is El Salvador looks like with Bukele? What happened in El Salvador? And of course, we have really good media. Well, many media are talking about in a bad way about Bukele and also in a good way. Salvadorians also have a controversial opinion. For example, to me, I believe that he has a really good things and he has a bad things. But at the end, it's like, of course, I have to be criticized first because it's my own government. And second, because he's a politician. there are things that are going to do good. Some things are not going to be agree with him. So Salvadorans also have an opinion like that. Like there are things that they like and then things that doesn't like. For example, Bitcoin, even if it was legal tender, because it's not anymore for the IMF, Salvadorians didn't understand Bitcoin. And some Salvadorians even think that Bitcoin was from the government. Because in the beginning, to promote to use Bitcoin, the government gave us to Salvadorians a Bitcoin wallet that is Chivo wallet that make the Salvadorians to send, to sell and buy Bitcoin with US. So you can withdraw money to an ATM and have fiat in your hand. But Salvadorians believe that it was something from the government. Bitcoin is government and the Bitcoin is from Bukele. It's like, well, of course it's not. But that was the idea that people think. And some people gave it in a bad way. Like, oh yeah, we should not use this because it's from the government. But I mean, I understand that maybe they don't want to use Chivo wallet, but you can use whatever other wallet that you want. And right now, even if it was legal tender 2 years ago, not many Salvadorians accepted in merchants because it was some skeptical about what is this. And sometimes they only have one person at the store that accepts Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. That person, I don't know, if they have an emergency or if he's in the toilet, they're going to say, oh, we don't have a system right now. Right now, the system failed. It's like, I mean, what is the system? The internet? Yeah. It's like people really have struggles because they didn't have the education to say how Bitcoin works. So many of the stores start to accept Bitcoin without know about Bitcoin. Right. Or they only use Chivo wallet, and Chivo wallet had a little problems at the beginning. The system didn't work compared with another wallet. So yeah, I mean, it's still like a voluntary. Right now, if I go to Salvador, if you can embrace stores that accept Bitcoin, it's like, of course, I want to ask and say, can I pay with Bitcoin? Because it's still like that. I mean, it's always been voluntary. For example, to me, I can pay my phone bill in Bitcoin. It's still available on the website. And there are many other stores, like, for example, Starbucks, McDonald's, the main grocery store in El Salvador, Super Selectos. They also accept Bitcoin, but there are little stores that they don't gonna accept it, but it's okay. I mean, it's voluntary. They want to. It's okay. I'm gonna spend as much as I can my sats in places that they accept it. But yeah, it's a big change. If you go to right now in El Salvador, if you want to live in a Bitcoin standard, it's a possible. Of course, it's not gonna be easy, but it's a lot of adoption in El Salvador in compared with other countries. For example, right now in Medellin, Colombia, it's a few places that maybe they're gonna accept Bitcoin, but it's not like in El Salvador. Like you can have many stores around you that don't accept it.
Yeah. And I think that's why the whole idea of QR codes, like what every time you see a QR code anywhere, you just have to think that is getting people used to using a Bitcoin wallet. Because really all it is scanning a QR code. So you just open up your Bitcoin wallet, you scan that QR code, and then you just send the money. And you could choose like which currency if you're using a US dollar, you can just say how much US dollars worth of Bitcoin you're sending, and it makes it super easy. So I think my thing is just seeing QR codes everywhere and seeing older people having to scan QR codes when they do anything. They're able to do it. It's not hard, but people just think like, oh, how do I accept Bitcoin? But it's literally all around us already. So it's not that big of a jump. It's just creating the wallet and then just having somewhere to transact in it, which is literally just scanning. So it's not a huge jump, for people to actually do it. And the whole thing about the government, how people have that misconception that Bitcoin is a government thing. It's almost like people, when you talk about digital currency, or when you first talked about Bitcoin, or sometimes when I mention it to people, think that, oh, but that a digital currency is going to be a way where the government tracks what you spend. And it's almost like that's the idea that people have. They think that they're going to know everything that you spend now because it's all on this blockchain. But literally most people don't use cash these days. They use debit and credit cards, and they use Venmo and PayPal. And most of the time, like everything you spend is already being tracked some way or another. So instead of the people being afraid that their money is going to be tracked, it's more like the government should be afraid that now we're going to have a ledger to see where their money goes. So it's like the real fear shouldn't be for the people. It should be for us knowing where our government is sending their money and what they're spending it on, because there will be more transparency. Because with all this theft that we see going on in all different, governments, but the US, you know, we've been seeing a lot of money that is unaccounted for, like the Pentagon. They haven't been audited in what, 7 years? You know, they can't pass an audit at the Pentagon. So it's like, there's no way of, you know, tracking these funds. And it's probably on purpose because they like the fact that they don't have to account for where they're spending this money. And Bitcoin will change that. So it'll kind of make, you know, as these things transform, it shouldn't be us that are afraid. We already, you know, the government already knows where most of our money goes. There isn't much cash-based transactions going on in the world. So I think it's a positive thing for the government to be held accountable. So I think that's...
I think that people are scared about what they don't understand, but that's why I always ask the question, why you don't try to read about more, search about it, and have your own opinion? But because sometimes they only have like, oh yeah, Bitcoin is a scam. Where do you find that? How do you do that research? You're only repeating what other people say. For example, recently, sometimes I post about what I'm doing about Bitcoin because, I mean, it's right now my full life. And I remember I just received a message for a random person, a friend that I knew for years ago. And she said something like, oh, I would like to know about more about investing in Bitcoin. It's like, it's not about investing in Bitcoin or trading. It's about what is your money right now? And if it's in the bank, for example, that we have Salvadorians, for example, my grandma, maybe that they put money in behind the bed because they believe it's more safer than in the bank. Doesn't matter if you put your money in the bank or you put it behind your bed. Doesn't have the same value than when you put it behind your bed. I mean, the US dollar is also, right now losing its value while we are speaking, but people believe that doesn't happen. And it's like, okay, it's not about investing. It's about what you're doing, saving your time. Mm-hmm. Or it's not about also about retiring. It's about what you're doing right now with your monies. Where your savings are going.
People don't know how to save anymore. People think that because years ago, you used to be able to, when you think about your grandparents or, you know, they worked hard, they didn't have much, but they saved and they created a life for you. And that's why you have everything you have, because your grandparents worked hard and they saved money. And they were able to do that because we were on a sound money. So we had actually gold backing our dollar. There was something backing our dollar that it had to correlate to something. Now it's just the push of a button, adding more zeros to a system. So with Bitcoin, it brings back money being based on something, like dollar being based on gold. Now we have Bitcoin, which, you know, you can't escape the rules. There's rules in Bitcoin. Nobody can steal or create more of it. And that's why it goes up in value over the years compared to the dollar. So it teaches people to save money again. It's literally like not investing. It's just saving your money in something just like your grandparents did years ago before the Federal Reserve was created. It is going back to our roots, going back to sound money. I want to teach my kids to save too, but because Bitcoin exists, you can teach that to your kids again. You know, if it wasn't for Bitcoin, you would just have to be like, okay, investing is the only other way, but there is a different option.
When, for example, I will say that 2 years ago, Salvadorians in reality, they're really poor. And as you say, it's like, doesn't exist the concept of invest. Doesn't the concept of saving, because people are really having debit credit cards and they're having more debts. And they think that that's the way that you have to live. But it's like, I don't feel that this is the way. I mean, getting this labor at the same time, and then you're trying to have a lifestyle. And yeah, people really don't understand that savings right now are more important than what you're doing with your money is important. And sometimes people are really having really bad habits to buy things that they don't need. But they believe that because they have a credit card, they have this debit card, or they have this bank record, it's good to have a debt, or taxes are good. I just recently, somebody told me, oh yeah, taxes are good. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, what are your taxes? Do you know what your government do with your taxes? Why you have to pay a lot of taxes or things that you own right now? Why you have to pay more taxes about that? Yeah. It's like every time that I talk with somebody, they just punch in my face, like how reality works to many of others. So it's like, yeah, I know savings are important, but how you save is more.
Right. I think people are just conditioned to think that you're a good citizen if you pay taxes, and that's what good citizens do. It transforms so many of your ideas about what you thought was true. And that's why people start to live a simpler life even if they don't have much to buy or save in Bitcoin, you start to really rethink those things that you're buying and the things that you think you need that you would normally put on your credit card. And it creates more of a minimalist lifestyle. Like, you don't need to shop constantly to fill this emptiness that you feel, that you think you need more stuff to make you happy, when you actually realize that even if you save a little bit in Bitcoin, you don't have to save. You don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. You know, people can put whatever they can. You could buy $10 worth at a time. And, you know, anyone who goes out there that has money to waste on a coffee or go to Starbucks, you know, you can just, you know, even if you were to do it, it's like match that and put the same amount in Bitcoin. Just like kind of save as much, even if it's a little bit, just put it in because it actually grows. It's not something where you're putting in there and it won't make an impact. It really does.
You own that money.
Yes.
It's yours. Nobody's going to steal it. I mean, that's one of the things I always try to teach to my mom and my parents. Like, well, even if you put money in the bank, it's not yours. I mean, when you have, even if you have just $5 on Bitcoin, it's better to have it in the bank.
No, it's, I think that having it self-custody, you know, controlling your own keys, having it on a wallet is just as simple as using Bitcoin at a store and buying Bitcoin. It's the same idea. You create this hardware wallet and you send it over with the QR code. So it's not hard either, you know, even for people who think, well, I wouldn't understand how to do that. Yes, you can. And you could ask somebody that can teach you how to do it. It's really not hard. But the magic of that is that, yes, you own that Bitcoin. Nobody can come and take it from you. You know, they can't just say, you don't have access to this. We're closing down your account, or the bank doesn't have money. Anybody at any point could say, well, guess what? We're going to decide that you broke some kind of rule and now we're going to confiscate it. So with Bitcoin, that doesn't happen. You know, you can take whatever you have, put it in cold storage, put it in a hardware wallet. That's the same thing. And you're free from that sort of fear, you know, so you don't have to worry about people doing that to you. So it is empowering, and it does feel like you've escaped this worry, you know, when you hear about banks closing and bank runs and other countries failing. And, you know, it's kind of like a domino effect. It eventually will kind of happen everywhere. So it's not something that people think will happen in the next year, but it trickles down throughout the whole system, and Bitcoin protects you from that.
Yeah. For example, right now I feel like living my dream life. I mean, I'm working in the Bitcoin space. I receive an appeal on Bitcoin. Every time that I have, because I'm living a Bitcoin standard, every time that I have to spend some sats, because you need to live in a way in the fiat system, people have a controversial opinion about that you don't have to spend your Bitcoin. But it's like, I mean, if you're living in the Bitcoin standards, you have to spend in some way. So you make me more criticize about why you're spending, and if it's necessary to me, if I need this to me, because at the same time, because I'm living on a nomad, many things, materialistic things, it's like I just have a different opinion about what I want to save or what I want to spend. Because I mean, because I always traveling, it's not like I can keep everything that I like at whatever other country, because I don't need them, those things. And also I don't have a space to have in these things. So I will say that just when I start to live in a Bitcoin standard, and you have to be careful. Well, not careful, but you have to start to care what your spendings are. It's like, yeah, I have a different kind of lifestyle. I mean, I prefer more about experience. Like, for example, traveling. I love to be traveling around and have new experience. But I don't need, for example, another dress. I mean, right. I have one body. But I mean, yeah. I have a few dresses. But it's like every time I want to spend something that's materialistic that maybe I don't need them. It's like I really consider my options, like, why do I have to spend for this?
Definitely is a cure for impulsive behavior. Impulsive shopping. You know, when you think that you are going to have to spend some of your Bitcoin because you're living full on Bitcoin, you convert everything over and you just live off of it. You do. You think about, you're not just going to go put it on a credit card. You're not going to just buy it, because you actually think more about what you're spending. That's super important. I have a problem with the term never sell your Bitcoin. I don't like that term. I like never trade your Bitcoin. I like don't become a trader, because I really think that you'll get burnt. I think that you're going to try to see where Bitcoin's going and you're just going to lose. And anybody who's not trading billions of dollars or like a huge amount, millions of dollars amount of Bitcoin with short price movements, if you're not trading with where $1,000 in Bitcoin price can actually make you some money, you're not going to, what's the point? You're wasting your time. You're wasting your energy trying to trade Bitcoin, and you will eventually lose more. You might as well just keep saving in it. And the people that do trade big amounts of money, you'll get burnt too. Like you'll get caught off sides at some point and you'll still get burnt and lose a big chunk and have to buy, you know? So I think it's a waste of time to trade. But as far as saving in Bitcoin and spending it, I get that people that have the means to say, you know what, I'm still working. I have my fiat job. I'm going to be saving in Bitcoin and I care for my kids to have a future. I'm never going to spend this until, you know, one day my kids will take over. Okay, that's their idea. But for people who fully convert over to Bitcoin, they're transferring all their fiat into Bitcoin and they're living off of it. Again, you cut out that impulsivity from your life, but then as things come up in life and you need to spend the money, you can live off of Bitcoin as the price rises. So as your, you know, Bitcoin increases, which it does over time, if you look in the big picture, not 1 month to 1 month at a time, you're able to just spend it if you need it at the moment.
I mean, it's about value for value. I mean, I'm going to spend it if, for example, that is a value to me, or for example, of course, I need to eat. Yeah. I need grocery stores. So I mean, it's a value for value. I mean, it's not about I'm going to keep all the Bitcoin just because, I mean, at the end of the day, we want to, this is going to be money. And money have to be spent, and money have to be changed for a value, for a product, or for something that you think that it's value about your money. So I will say, if you want to spend Bitcoin, well, it's good if you're spending in a places that accept Bitcoin, because that's encouraged to more communities or more store accepted. And also it's good for adoption. It's just good for everyone.
Sometimes when you think about the price swings now, if Bitcoin was swinging $10,000 at a time when it was, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 and it was just down $10,000 in a day, you're like, oh shoot, you know, now it's down. I have to buy it because I shouldn't be spending it now. But when it's over $100,000 of Bitcoin, and it swings $10,000, like your $20 or your $100 that you have to spend doesn't make a dent. It's like, even if you have to spend that $100 today, once you get $200 next week, you just buy it back and it doesn't matter. Really, it's like in the long term, you yeah. still win doing it that way than you do trading or trying to trade Bitcoin. You know, just use it if you need it. These price swings don't matter at this price. You know, when it's this high, people think, oh man, I just bought $1,000. I should have bought it when it was $3,000 less. It's like, okay, well, would you have saved $30?
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. So I think that it's amazing that you're traveling, and I love the idea of visiting El Salvador one day. I love the idea of do you know anything about the Bitcoin mining and with the volcano?
And it was a project that started, I don't remember when they released, but a few years ago. Right now, I think that's a stop because mm-hmm. for the IMF deal.
I heard with the IMF, it's the International Monetary Fund. Yeah. So didn't Bukele say we're out, like we're not going to deal with you guys? Is that what happened?
No, I mean, they did the deal.
But they got a loan.
Yeah, they have a loan. Right now, well, one of the agreements in the contract with the IMF is like, for example, remove Bitcoin from legal tender. So it's not anymore legal tender. But as I say, for example, if you go to Salvador, there are stores, merchants set Bitcoin, always been voluntary. Even if it was legal tender, it's like, I cannot force the people to accept it, you know? So, yeah. So right now it's still like that. I mean, there are places that you can spend Bitcoin. And one of the other things that the IMF, put in the agreement, it was to the Chivo wallet, the Salvadorian Chivo wallet. It's right now anymore. Well, they're going to start to remove from the Salvador. I don't know how it's going to be that process, but yeah, we don't going to have Chivo wallet anymore.
Okay.
And what else?
I wonder why they're doing that.
They are scared. That's why. I mean, it's about control. It's about money, you know. I don't know why they decide to take the loan. I will say this because investing of that money mm-hmm. can be invested to some way. But at the same time, it's like IMF wants to control. Even when the Salvador start to do a Bitcoin legal tender and the US, we pay the debt, they always make controversial opinion about what Salvador they want to track in about the money in the past. And right now, I don't know. But yeah, IMF is about control what their other countries are doing. And El Salvador is a great example about that. I mean, from being one of the safe, dangerous countries to be one of the safest countries right now, mm-hmm. for example, even I will say also Bitcoin is part of that. Many tourists are in El Salvador right now. In the past, it was very weird to see somebody tourist in El Salvador. And right now it's very common. People are looking at El Salvador like a spot to vacation or holiday. So I will say, yeah, Bitcoin has been a good change in a different many places. for example, trees, yeah. Money. Yeah. So I will say MNFs is just want to be, you know, part of that, controlling what El Salvador is doing. So yeah. That's
I definitely know that I would like to visit El Salvador. Like, I look forward to going to Bitcoin Beach and seeing that. I've seen that whole model that they made about how they're going to create that Bitcoin city around that beach. And that just looks incredible. And it's just, I'm very excited to see in the future what happens with that.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think it's all politics. So it's like, maybe if the IMF is scared about El Salvador looking so good and being so empowering to people and turning itself around and all this stuff, they're probably like, hey, guess what? Like, we'll give you this loan, which in turn, I wouldn't doubt that El Salvador is just buying more Bitcoin with it or investing in this Bitcoin city or whatever they're trying to do to invest and make the country better. So they're like, yeah, sure, we'll take the loan. We'll take out legal tender so that, you know, you don't have to attack us anymore in the media and say things that will make us look bad. Even if they take it out as legal tender, like you said, you can't stop Bitcoin. So if people are already accepting it at the stores and they're already understanding how to use it and the word is spreading and it's like people are talking about it, they're seeing that their life is getting better over time as they save in Bitcoin, you're not going to just stop a merchant from using it. They're going to be able to use it anyway. So it's not like just because they're taking out the Chiva wallet and they can use 100 other Bitcoin wallets and transact in 100 other different ways. So you really can't stop this movement. So it's like whatever is happening in El Salvador, people have seen the changes, people are on board, and it's only going to get bigger. And I do believe that Bukele is doing a good job for the country. And I really think that he's just playing their game. He has Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert advising him. He's got Samson Mao advising, right? So, I mean, they're not doing things to steer away from Bitcoin adoption in the country. So I think whatever they're doing, they have like a bigger game plan with the IMF.
Yeah. For example, as you say, many projects about Bitcoin, they are stopped. For example, the Bitcoin City that Bukele talk and the volcano mining. To be honest, I never see the updates about that. But I will say that right now, even if didn't start the project right now, pretty much stopped because it's for the same reason that everything about Bitcoin with the app is right now kind of banned. But as you say, right now we have Bitcoin Beach that is in El Sonte. We also have Bitcoin Berlin because it's also a Bitcoin city. And then we have a little other communities around El Salvador that are trying to use Bitcoin like in the daily basis to communities. And I think that's why we need more Bitcoin. For example, if you go to Santa Ana, there are places that are right now merchants that are set Bitcoin. If you go to San Salvador, in the main capital city, there are places also set Bitcoin. So I will say that it's a big probability that you can find places in El Salvador to accept Bitcoin, to live about Bitcoin. And yeah, there are little communities and big communities that right now, this Bitcoin is not anymore legal tender. There are ways to use it. There are ways to spend it. And I mean, it's not, even if it's not legal tender, doesn't mean that it's prohibited. So you can spend it. Just you only have to find somebody to accept it.
Yeah, I even spoke to my last guest that I just posted, Cohen. He's the author of The Bitcoin Singularity, and he works with Jan3 now as a smart cities advisor. It's not just El Salvador, it's like Latin America in general. They are still moving forward with this, whether or not you think the IMF is taking control of anything. It's still not stopping this movement because you have somebody who's working directly with Jan3 and they are working towards increasing awareness and increasing transactions and increasing the usage of Bitcoin in these cities. And you figure we're going to see a lot of changes. So I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with that and all the changes going forward. So yeah, it's an interesting thought hearing from people who are building, you know, building and sharing, like spreading the word, you know, doing what you're doing what all of us can do in order to just keep teaching people about it, you know, because the more you teach, people realize that they don't want to be trapped anymore. And when we were talking earlier about why people don't take the time, it's, I think, because people are crunched with time. They're very squeezed on time. They don't have a lot of it, you know? So when you work in this fiat space, and you're like, you were doing the job you're doing where you don't have time to take a vacation and, you know, you're controlled. And by the time you leave work, you're just so burnt out. You know, you have to do things around the house. You know, you have to take care of your kids and your family. You don't have time to really always take that deep dive and learn about Bitcoin. So that's why I thank you. And I thank people like you for joining me on my podcast, because You know, I like to hear about people from all around the world. I like to hear about your stories, your journeys, you know, just trying to reach more people that maybe might come across a podcast where they're just trying to listen to people just chatting about their life or whatever. And it's not just about, you know, Bitcoin price and trading and all that stuff. I want to be able to maybe come across some people that might just be listening one day and actually have something click where they actually want to learn more about it. So I appreciate you joining me, and I appreciate anybody who joins me to talk about this stuff.
Bitcoin changed my life in different ways, and I'm just very grateful for what I have right now. For example, I'm right now in my 20s, and I'm happy to be around Bitcoin. And I will say that even if you get early or late, doesn't matter. If you're started, that's all important.
That's what it is. It's not, no, everybody that's ever gotten into Bitcoin has thought they got into it too late, you know, but when we understand that Bitcoin will always go up because dollars, fiat meaning all man-made currencies, will always be inflated, that's why Bitcoin price always goes up, because it stays the same. That doesn't mean you're late. You just need to get started. So it's incredible to see that you're in your 20s and you're getting started at this point in your life, because it's very important for young people. You know, it's very important for to be able to have a future where you feel freedom to do things you want to do and to have creativity and to follow your passions, you know, follow something that makes you feel happy about how you spend your time, and to be able to enjoy your life and do things like you're doing, traveling the world. So this empowers you to do that. And that's what Sound Money does.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate this talk. I can't wait to share it with more people. I'm so excited that I get to speak with somebody who's from El Salvador and hear about how life is over there. But also, I'm just so excited for your journey and for everything you're doing and moving your life over to a Bitcoin, you know, based job, you know, something that you could do that you actually enjoy. So, and you're teaching people. So that's incredible.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate it for the opportunity. I hope that my words helps to others to do something different with your lives. I mean, Bitcoin is for everyone, and doesn't matter. For example, you really want to be involved in Bitcoin, in a Bitcoin company. I will say it's not easy, but you have to start in some ways. I just think that I can encourage to somebody else to maybe do something different with their life. Maybe that's something that they need. I mean, everyone knows what is the struggles they have right now, and I think that that's why I always try to be adapted. Even in the world, you have to be adapted. With the AI is coming and everything, it's like what you can give to the world. So yeah, that's my encourage to everyone.
Yes, so much is changing. You can learn so much so easily. You can start something new, and with the help of AI and everything, it's pretty easy to just find something that you're interested in, find out how to do it. So thank you for that. I really hope it helps a lot of people and inspires them to do what you're doing. And thank you so much again, and I can't wait to share this.
Thank you.
Have a great day.